Amen. Amen, yeah.
And so, as to what I want to talk about this afternoon is ordaining elders in every city, in every town. Because God has an order how he does things. And he likes things to be done in a certain way. Within a home, the headship, the elder of the home is the father, is the husband. And it is a great responsibility and a privilege. It's a joy to lead a home and to lead a family, but it's a responsibility. A man, he has to work, he has to be responsible for his family. He has to discipline his children. In the house of God, in the meeting, in the gathering of the saints, is he raises up elders to oversee his work, to teach faithfully, and to preach the word of God. It's an order. It isn't how I want things done. It isn't according unto our opinion, but everything is ordered, it's ordained by the word of God, and we are to follow it very carefully. That shows us to be a church. That shows us to be the people of God in reality, because our doctrine and our preaching of Christ, it looks like something in an ordered life after it has been received. If I've truly been forgiven, I forgive others. It looks like something. If I've obtained grace and mercy, then I'm gracious and I'm merciful. If I've been saved by a holy God, then I have a holy walk. It's a holy calling. He has called us into another race, into another life that is lived to bring him glory. And this is what it looks like. It's by following scripture exactly. And we don't make excuses for our disobedience. Is we get grace to overcome our sin. That is a true gospel. And that is a true man of God. He gets grace to overcome his sin. He doesn't say, I'm saved by grace, so I can live any way I want to. Mm-hmm. It's okay if I sin. It's okay if I misuse people. It's okay if I change the doctrine in the Bible. That's not the way. Salvation by grace makes me and you live like God says. That's what his grace is for, to turn us into holy people, to make us holy people, and to guide our walk. If from last week we talked about in verse number 1-4, the grace of God that is in harmony, that accords with godliness. If I'm elected and I have the faith that comes from God, it's the gift of God, it's going to make me and you to be godly in our character. And that's what we want people to be, is to not merely to hear the gospel only, but to be practicers of the gospel in every detail of our life. So in that sense, I'm constantly coming unto the word of God to be changed into the likeness of Christ. I'm in the likeness of Christ once I'm born again, but I'm being changed. I'm transforming. I'm growing. It's like a child. He becomes a man and he becomes an older man. It's little children become fathers, become strong men. And we grow the same way in grace into the likeness, into the conformity of God's dear Son as to what it means to be men and women of grace. And so he says here in verse number 5, the Apostle Paul says, for this reason, here's my purpose. I left you in Crete. I left you in this city as I went elsewhere, Paul says, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. He wants our life organized. He wants his church organized. Am I able to say that I'm a Christian, so I want to run church my way? I want to be the boss. I want to give commands. I don't care what it says in the Bible. I'm the pastor. I'm the elder here. Am I able to say that?
No. Nope.
What do you say to somebody who says, I'm the boss, instead of the Word of God is the boss? What do you say to them?
Out of line.
If I say I'm the boss, is I'm the oldest, I'm the pastor, I have my gray hairs, and so we do what I'm going to say, not the Bible.
Yeah.
What do you say to me? Speak up, please.
You say it's not true.
It's not true is you say you are wrong, sir. And even if the man has long gray beard, even if the man is esteemed in the community, white, black, or all the colors in between, even if he's the pastor of the church, if he's not preaching and acting, behaving according unto the Bible, what do you do? What do you do? If I'm not acting according unto the Bible, if I'm not preaching the Bible faithfully, what do you do? Even if I have a lot of money, even if a lot of people follow me, you don't listen unto me, is you don't pay any attention unto me, because our authority is not man. Our authority is God. And we know God by his word. So no man has authority over the word of God. The Bible is in charge of the house of God, of the church. Mm-hmm. And the pastor's job is to preach it faithfully and to live by it as an example. He has to be a person that is an example, that is above you as a person that you can look unto and say, that's how to do it. And if you see errors in his life, are you to follow him in that error just because he's pastor? Answer now. Speak. Open your mouths. Think and answer. Engage your mind and your heart in the gospel. Think and answer. It's a very simple question. If I'm over you as the pastor, as the elder, and you see an area in my life that's wrong, are you to follow me in that wrong? If I'm angry, I have a quick temper, Is I overindulge in wine? If I'm mean, if I'm aggressive, unfriendly, are you to follow me in that wrong? Hmm? Open your mouths now and talk. I'm asking questions and I want answers. Are you to follow me?
No.
How about if I'm right in all of these areas? Are you to follow me?
Yes.
But if I'm right in all of these areas, but in this area I'm wrong, are you to follow me in this wrong?
No.
A pastor has to be an example. So for this reason, I left you in Crete, verse number 5, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. It wasn't organized properly. Mm-hmm. There were people there who believed the gospel, Paul said, but they're not living right as a church. It isn't organized properly. And so I'm going to be leaving Titus. I'm going to bring in this man Titus, this outsider, to help them set things in order. That's his job. That's what he must do. And he's not the boss. Hear me carefully. Everyone, eyes on me. Everybody, is you hearing me? I want you to think and understand my words. He's not the boss. He is the man who preaches what the boss says.
Yes.
He's an under shepherd. He's a slave of Christ. He is obedient to Christ. And his job is to make you obedient unto Christ, both by his message and his method of life. He has to be an example. He has to tell the truth. So set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. And so how are elders appointed? Well, one, they are actually raised up by God. Then the people say he's been raised up by God. And as a pastor or an elder or a bishop, I can bring a man in front of you, and all of these are going to be men. I can bring a man in front of you and say, this man, I believe, is qualified to preach the gospel and to lead men and women in Christ. And then it's up to you to say, hear me carefully. Do not be a silent church member that just goes along with anything the pastor says. That's not your job. The scripture says that all of us shall judge angels. He's given all of us discernment in one measure or another. If we've been gifted by God with obedience, with salvation, then we know God and we know what holiness is as we follow the word of God. And if you see a man that's brought up into the front and you realize his character, his life, his teaching is not accurate, it's your responsibility to say, sir, I don't think this man is qualified for these reasons. That's your job as a preacher of the gospel. That's your job as a student of the gospel, as a regular child of God. You are to discern between good and evil. You are to know who's preaching unto you, if he's qualified or not. And it's by knowing the Bible and knowing God in the gospel. So set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city, everywhere, every church, ought to have an elder. So if you have an elder and the elder dies, it does not cease to be a church, but it's a church that's in need of a pastor. It's going to be looking around and to see who can I get to serve God with my family, the church. Okay, now point number two. Everyone understand that? Is there any questions? I'm Mr. Birthday Boy, you got any questions? All right. Thank you. That's a pun. It's, you know, it's his name. It's a, yes, sir.
But is there or, anyone, yes, ma'am. You can tell the pastor or the leader of the church that this way you are doing things is not good or...
Yeah, you open your mouth, you tell him. As you look him in the eye, you tell him. He's a man like anybody else. And if he's wrong, he's wrong. You tell him with respect. It's the Bible teaches that I'm to rebuke an elder with respect, with humility. Is I'm not to be proud and haughty and to act arrogant because I know something or I can spot out a fault. It's the humility of the approach that shows I really know God. It's not the arrogance. But no man is above reproach. No man is above being corrected. Mm-hmm. No man has the authority to say what I say goes. Now, an elder is to lead. If you open in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 13.
It's just one page on.
Uh-huh. And verse number 17, if you're in Titus, you turn right, you're going to see Philemon, and you're going to see the book of Hebrews.
What chapter are you talking?
It's in chapter number 13 and verse number 17.
Okay, 13,
now,
17.
Now, Sister Susan is actually reading out of the Old King James Version, and it's a mistranslation of this verse. It's the more modern versions, as they have it right. It's the Old King James says to obey them that have the rule over you. That's what it says, right?
Yeah, Lily, you've got it there. What does it say?
Just obey them that have the rule over you.
That's not true.
That's not true. Yeah, that's a faulty translation.
It's the Anglican Church because it wanted power.
That's right.
It's the King James is a good version of the Bible. It is very good.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, each translation is not as accurate as it could be in the Greek or in the Hebrew. As to what that verse actually says, mm-hmm. is to be under, to submit to those who lead you. It's a leader. And it is very similar if you have an understanding that this man has no... hear me carefully. This man has no authority in my life except to preach the word of God. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, he is a leader. So if I'm a missionary, I have a missionary organization. There are people in Nigeria right now who are following my lead. As I say this, I say that. But I am never contradicting the Bible. And if I do, they are to correct me. A small child is to correct me. If I ever contradict the Bible, the word of God.
Right.
I'm nobody. He's everybody's complete everything. Mm-hmm. He is the one that me and you please. And him only. And so as a leader, if the brother may say, let's start at 12 o'clock and everyone be here. Is that contradicting the Bible? No. So you follow his lead and you come at 12 o'clock and you meet on time. But if the leader ever says anything that contradicts the Bible, what do we do? You don't listen. And in love, you come and correct him and say, uncle, or say, hey, Shimu, or say, pastor. That's wrong. And you don't want to do it openly in public unless you have to. What you want to do is in private. It's the same way with any other brother. Is you go to him first in private. Sir, this is wrong what you're doing. In humility, this is what the Bible says. And if he's a man of God, of the right spirit, he will listen unto you and he will humble himself before a little child. You hearing me? Am I right or wrong in what I'm teaching? If I'm correct, then you follow it according unto the word of God. And that's exactly what this verse is teaching. Mm-hmm. Submit unto those who are leading you, for they watch out for your souls by preaching the word of God in prayer, as those who must give an account. I'm going to give an account unto God by how I have taught and led you. Let them do so with joy. If you don't want to be a person that is always going to be bickering or always going to be finding fault, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. If a person can't be led, if they're just rebellious, oh, well, the pastor said 12, I think 12:30, that's a bad attitude. As much as I can, is I want to submit unto what the pastor says, as long as it doesn't contradict the Bible. And since he's a man just like me, if I think that 12:30 might be a better time, let me come talk unto him and ask him. And if he says 12:30 is your right, then fine. If he says, no, brother, I think 12 o'clock is going to be best because of XYZ, then fine, is I want to be submissive in the house of God. Okay, you got that? Is you following me? Is there any questions? Okay, if you have a question, don't be shy. I'm just a man here to help you with the word of God in the Bible. That's all that's important. And my example is important. Is my character has to match my message. They have to be the same. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect. But our character must match our message. Yes. That's obtaining grace. Because grace makes men holy. That's what it does. It makes us godly according unto the Bible. Let's go back, please, into the book of Titus in chapter number 1. And if we ever turn to any other scripture, is you want to keep your finger there in Titus, because that's our text. And so we don't just preach from the Bible. We actually preach what the Bible says. And so you want to be able to look even with your own eyes and to be able to see what the preacher's saying. So verse number 6-8 is the next thing. It's the second point. I only have 3 points. But verse number 6-8 it talks about a preacher, a pastor, an elder being blameless. And this is what that means. He has to follow to the best of his ability what God says according unto the grace that God gives him. If I want to be an as to what are your sports here? If you play rugby here,
soccer,
and you play soccer here. If I want to be a soccer player, and I want to be one so bad, but I can hardly walk and I can't even kick the ball. Can I play soccer?
No.
Can I play on the professional team just because I want to?
No.
If I want to be a preacher, but I'm not qualified, can I preach the gospel?
No.
Can I be a pastor?
No.
No way. If I'm not qualified, if I don't have the character, I can't do it. I can't stand up in front. And you want to wait until a man is qualified before you ever put him in the pulpit as a pastor. It's a big responsibility, and it's hard to get them out as to once you started to give them the credit of that office. And so you want to examine him first and see, does he qualify according to the Bible, Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that what other pastors say about him? It isn't if he went into the seminary and he has a big degree on his wall. It isn't if he's qualified by what other people say. Is by what you see yourself according unto the Scriptures. I will take the opinion of another man I respect, and I'll receive a brother, but I'm still watching him to see if he's qualified himself. And if he is, hallelujah, praise God. If he's not, I draw back from him or I rebuke him if I'm given a chance. But the qualification is to be blameless. Point number two. Verse number six.
Can I just say something there?
Sure, brother.
If you ask a question, the blameless part does not mean you're sinless.
Right.
There's a difference there. Maybe you just want to explain that to them. In the sense, what's the difference between the two? Because we're all sinners.
Mm.
But we have to be blameless.
Yes. It is a blameless man meets all the qualifications.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. If there are 10 qualifications, if I meet 9, am I blameless?
Nope.
Hear me carefully. I want everybody paying attention because it's, I believe that everybody here, well, except for small, can understand exactly as to what I'm saying. So if I have 10 qualifications here, if I meet up with 9 of them, am I blameless?
No.
Not at all.
No.
You have to wait until the man meets all 10. And if I want to be a pastor, I have to look at these qualifications and I have to order my life in this fashion by the grace that God gives me. And if I've been called by God, he's going to qualify me. He's going to equip me. He called you to be a man. Well, if he has, is you're going to grow up into the age of manhood. Is you're not going to stay a boy your whole life. And if he called me to be a pastor, I'm going to grow into the character, the conduct, the qualifications of being a pastor. Okay? So who can read in Titus 1? in verse number 6-8. As to who can read that nice and loud.
That is 1:6-8. Who's going to read? Brian, if you're there. You got it.
An elder must lead a blameless life.
A blameless life.
He must be faithful.
Faithful.
To his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation of being wild or rebellious.
Now, that word there, believers, it also means faithful. And so the Bible isn't saying his children have to be saved. Because you cannot save a man's children. It's Abraham had two sons, and only one of them was saved.
Yeah.
And King David had a lot of children, and most of them were unsaved. And a man can be very faithful to preach his gospel and his children not yet be saved, but they have to be faithful. It means this, is they can't be unruly, is they cannot be living, it's a wild life, they're up under his roof, and he has to correct them with the power and authority that comes from being a man in charge of his family. So let's just look at verse number 6 first. If a man is blameless, if he meets the qualifications, he's not perfect, but he's a man who repents. If a pastor fails, and you saw him drunk with wine, and then you corrected him and said, "Sir, you had too much wine." If the pastor says, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," are you going to go and tell that unto other people?
No.
Anybody that I correct that says I was wrong, I'm sorry. I'm never going to mention that unto anybody else. That person has been corrected. They have been changed. And the wrong, it was made right. Just like I want my wrongs to be hidden.
Yeah.
If I'm corrected by God, I don't want it exposed openly. I want to deal with him alone. If I'm corrected by somebody, I don't want them broadcasting, "Oh, Heshimu lost his temper." No, if you come to me, I hope I say I was wrong and we move on in our relationship as friends, as brothers and sisters. It's the same with a pastor. The husband of one wife means he can't marry two wives. In Africa, polygamy is a real thing, right? In Nigeria especially, it's real. As a man can't be a pastor if he has more than one wife. He can be saved. And from what I see in scripture, he can keep his wives. He can't be adding on even more wives. But if I'm a polygamist, or if I'm a man that as a Christian, if I leave my wife for this other woman, am I qualified to be a pastor? Actually, I'm actually qualified to be put out of the church. That's adultery.
Expelled.
But if my wife dies, if I'm a single man, if my wife happens to leave me, am I disqualified from being a pastor?
No.
the Apostle Paul was single,
mm-hmm.
and also was Barnabas, and probably also, well, there was others as well, John the Baptist, etc., etc. If a man's wife leaves him, it's not his fault if he treated her properly. Some women are just like Lot's wife, and they look back,
mm-hmm.
and they go back into this world. Even if you thought that, hey, we're saved, that doesn't disqualify a pastor. It's his character. He can spank his children. He can't spank his wife.
Mm.
He can make his children obey him. He can't make his wife obey him. Right? As to what can I do if you tell me no? I can't hit you. So his character is on the line. Then it says, having faithful children. How does a father discipline his children?
If I could catch a fly, throw it in his mouth.
Yeah.
What do you call a birthday boy? Dead weight. It's your big day now.
Yeah.
How does a father discipline his children? How? Speak to me now. Just spank?
Discipline.
How? Speak to me. In love. It's in love. It isn't just spank, spank, spank. Is our Father is who? God. How does he discipline us?
Love.
In love. In love. It is a wise pastor. Is he told me this a long time ago, and he used to preach it out of the pulpit. That when he was angry with his daughter, is he never disciplined her out of anger. He had to cool down first and come and talk unto her in love, and then to discipline her with a spanking, if it was needed. But you never spank out of anger. And you never hit your children out of anger. Pretty recently I had who correct a child. And he did something wrong. Is he hit his sister? And I've been watching him in his behavior, and it's been wrong. And so when he hit his sister, I got angry. And I told him to sit down. And I began to talk. I was angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched his face. And he got a little bit scared. And I'm a man. I ought to. And there ought to be that respect. And he began to almost cry. And I began to realize myself that I'm going to discipline him. He needs this correction, but I need to do it in love. I can't be a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been bullied? It's not fun at all. And it's wrong for a man to bully his children. But on the other side, hear me carefully. His children have to obey him. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is I used to work with a lot of children for many years. And these were children who had no fathers. And often these were children that were criminals. I'm in the USA. They obeyed the things I said, or they had consequences. Is I don't tell them twice, but I speak with them in love, even after I had to discipline them. We're still friends. We're still together. But the father has to be obeyed. Now, that is the kind of man that you want as your pastor. He's strong enough to make his children obey him. But he is actually, he is actually loving enough to actually be doing it in love. That's the kind of man that you sisters, that you want, is you want to marry a man like that. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of man that you young men, that you boys, that you want to be. It's a man who actually very lovingly mm-hmm. is he raises his home, his children, and his wife. But verse number 7. For an overseer must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. That means I can't do what I want. Mm-hmm. I have to do what God says.
Not your will.
Mm-hmm. Not quick-tempered. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that he doesn't get angry. If a person was to hurt you, I'd be angry. But a quick-tempered person is always angry. He's quick to unleash his anger. Is he can't control his anger. Mm-hmm. Not give in to wine. It doesn't mean you can't drink wine, but you drink it in the proper occasions. In the Old Testament, the priest was not to have wine as he entered into the temple, lest it skew his understanding and his judgment. And so he's to drink his wine with sobriety. Can I drink wine and be sober at the same time? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. With thanksgiving. Is a person was asking me just a couple of weeks ago, and she asked me twice because she wanted to get drunk, and she likes to get drunk. And she said, do you get drunk? I said, no. I drink, I enjoy myself, mm-hmm. but I cannot be drunken and honor God. I can't be drunken and be a pastor. I can't be given unto wine in the sense that I find my comfort, my joy, my peace in wine, mm-hmm. in alcohol. In South Africa, hear me carefully, alcoholism is extremely accepted. I see it all the time. I see men that are... It is in the middle of the day, they're drunk already. Mm. Even it's the young people. It's an accepted part of your culture. It's not accepted by God in the Bible.
Yeah.
Have your wine. Christ turned that water into wine. And Paul told Timothy to have a little wine. So me... is I have to ask God, how much can I drink, and when can I drink it? Mm-hmm. I have to ask his permission, how much I can have, so I can enjoy it with thanksgiving, mm-hmm. instead of as an offense unto God in idolatry.
Absolutely.
He can't be violent. If you meet a man that is just always just... is he wants to solve his problems with his fists. Mm. Is he doesn't have the quick understanding of the gospel. He ought to be solving his problems mm-hmm. with the gospel. He ought to be thinking about the gospel as he deals with men and women. Because God has dealt so graciously with us. He's been merciful unto us. He has forgiven us. And so how can I be impatient and angry towards you quickly when God has been so merciful unto me?
Yeah.
So he's slow in anger. Do you want God to be quickly angry with you?
No.
and to pick out your faults and smack you, just be responding in his anger? Oh, no, you do not. I want God to be patient with me, mm-hmm. and to be loving towards me, mm-hmm. and to be forgiving, and to deal with me because of who? Jesus Christ. Who said that? You're paying attention now. You see that? Is you're getting something out and you're contributing in a wise way. Yeah. Happy birthday, thank you. So I want to deal with people by Jesus because I want God to deal with me by Jesus. And that's in mercy, right? Is we're almost done. Is he can't be greedy after money, and the love of money is the root of all evil. Verse number 8, is hospitable. Is he has to be a lover of the things that are good, has to be sober-minded, has to think about the gospel. To be sober-minded is to be thinking about hell and heaven and the salvation of souls and a holy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. His mind is on the right things. Is his mind isn't on this world, and he doesn't really care about the souls of men. He's incessant about souls. He cares about things important. Mm-hmm. He's to be just. That's in his dealings. He's to be holy. He's to be self-controlled, or in the ESV it said discipline. Now, self-control is something that is really lacking in a lot of people. Please hear me carefully, who don't know how to work.
Yeah.
They don't have the discipline. It's to work hard and to be the best that they can possibly be. And a preacher is a man that has to be the best he can possibly be at his job of preaching the gospel and of winning souls for Christ. He's to be all about that business. Let me ask you a question. If I'm a soccer player and I have all kinds of talent, I can kick the ball, I can run fast, I'm agile, I'm an expert on that field, but I don't come to practice. Instead of training, it's all I do is drink beer and sleep. Then come game time. Is the coach going to put me in the game?
No.
Am I going to play my best?
Yes.
Am I honoring God in the way I treat my gift?
No.
No, if I have a gift, I'm to exercise it faithfully.
Yeah.
I'm to train. I'm to be hardworking. I'm to be different. Or to be, I'm to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
I'm to organize my life around what's important. And so what's important if I'm a preacher of the gospel? If I'm an elder of a church, as to what is important unto me? As to what is the most important thing in my life, is the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm to organize my wife. I'm to organize my children. I'm to organize my finances. I'm to organize my time. I'm to organize my whole life is around preaching the gospel. It isn't about this present world. It isn't trying to make the most money. Is I want to provide, is I want to give, but my life is all about the gospel. Because that gift I have is so important. To preach the gospel and help other people to see Christ, mm-hmm. is the most important gift I could possibly have. Mm. I'm to cherish it, I'm to honor it, I'm to make the best out of it. If you want to be an athlete, as to what you got to do,
practice.
You have to work hard.
Mm.
And you have to work harder than everybody else because that other guy on the other team, he's working hard too. And you have to outwork him. You have to have talent. You have to have a mind. If you've already been gifted, if you've been called to be a pastor, but you also need the gift of discipline, self-control, of controlling your life around the preaching of the gospel. Then it will grow. It's the last thing here is in verse number 9, and I'll be brief. It's holding fast the faithful word is as he has been taught. That's how we get it, through teachings. Somebody taught me the truth. That's why I'm able to teach others. That he may be able, by sound doctrine, by sound teaching, both to exhort, that's to encourage, and to convince or rebuke or reprove those who contradict. Mm-hmm. This is the last thing here that I want to say. Is a pastor has to be a man of conviction. You hearing me? Is a pastor has to be what? A man of conviction. He has to have the courage to tell people they are wrong and this is right. He has to have the confidence in his word to preach it as mandatory. This is a gospel. Is he can't be talking like, it's happy to see you guys, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, and I'm just going to smile, and I just want you to like me. He has to have the courage to stand up and tell you what God says, no matter the cost, even his life. Even if he gets fired and he loses all of his money, even if his wife leaves him and she takes away his children, he is going to stand up and preach that Bible because he fears God and he loves people. That's the gift that God gives us if we are called to be pastors or elders. That's what you look for in a man that is going to lead you in the preaching of the gospel and in the organizing of your lives around Christ. Around Christ. And the Lord bless you. You've heard me clearly? Is there any questions here? Is there anything that I got wrong, maybe? Is anything unclear? You absolutely believe it's true? It's the word of God? Then repent and believe the gospel. Mm-hmm. And trust God to save you and to make you exactly like he says in his Bible. Because a pastor is an example. He isn't on a pedestal. He's a person for you to be like and to excel. As to wherever he's wrong, you excel him. As to wherever he's weak, it's you outgrow him. Is you be the best Christian that you can be by the grace of God. Is God going to help you? Mm-hmm. For Christ's sake, he will. If you approach him by the name of Christ and say, I'm a sinner, make me faithful. I'm wrong over here, make me faithful. Is he going to make you faithful? Yes, for Christ's sake, he will, because Christ paid for your sin so that God can help you by his Spirit. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
So let's pray together.
Yes. Yeah, let's pray. Let's